Blog Talk Radio.
Struggle continues. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. This is Mary Neal. Welcome to Assistance to the Incarcerated. mentally ill. I want to thank you again for staying up late or for listening to the tape whenever you do, because it's important that we stay abreast of what's happening with our most vulnerable citizens, our most vulnerable fellow citizens. I consider them to be people who have lost their sense of reason. You know, I once met a blind young woman, and even though she had lost her eyesight, or maybe she never had eyesight, she was able to converse normally, express her ideas. I met a man once who was without legs. He had diabetes and he had no legs, but he was able to converse normally and conduct himself with the proper decorum. So there are all kinds of different handicaps, mental and physical. But I think that people who have mental handicaps are in are more in need of our physical handicaps, as bad as physical handicaps can be. I think mental issues can be worse, and that's for two reasons. Number one, it's just really awful to not have control of one's faculties, but secondly, it's awful to be targeted for destruction, like mentally ill people in the United States of America seem to be targeted for incarceration or destruction, particularly if they are of the working class or poor, especially particularly if they are black also. So if you're black, poor, and mentally ill, that's a real hard hurdle. Very difficult. However, even for whites, it is very difficult. All mentally ill people, black or white, seem to be at greater risk of being incarcerated or killed than other citizens, all of them. We have a caller. We'll let our caller speak. Hello, caller. How are you tonight?
Hi, are you talking to me? Am I your first caller tonight?
Yes, you are. How are you?
I just happened to see you on Facebook there and realized I could get in. It's one of those issues that I think police on the streets kill pretty indiscriminately. But from what I see in prison, they like old folks and they like black old folks mostly who don't have any family out there to raise hell for them. It seems to be what we see more of happening.
Is that right?
I don't know if it is. That's my opinion. That's my impression from what comes out. A lot of it doesn't come out for a long time. And, you know, in California, the guards were moving people from prison to prison, losing them so that they couldn't get in contact with the federales when they came in to investigate what was going on and why people were dying so much in prison. They were actually hiding them and impeding the investigation of the federal government.
Well, the federal government wouldn't care.
They were in there looking at it. They were crawling around on them, but they weren't getting it very fast. They had to go in, you know. It got too public in California, and people screamed at it, and judges were talking about it, and they had to at least make a good show.
Well, that's all it was, sir. That's all it was. My brother was secretly arrested and murdered in a jail that had federal oversight already, because they had been through the investigation. They had been found to be in violation of inmates' rights. My brother was secretly arrested one day. He was not in jail. He got arrested so they could kill him. They arrested him, took him to jail, kept him 18 days while denying to his family and social worker that he was incarcerated. I'm sorry?
While he was just on a hold. He was still in a holding cell when he was killed.
Okay. Yeah, he hadn't
been
before.
Is that what happened? He was still in there. He hadn't seen a judge.
As far as I know, he had not.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, the thing is, I think that it was a premeditated murder because he was on heart medication as well as his psychotropic drugs. And you and I know that, well, I don't know if you know, but the thing is that if people are suddenly withdrawn from heart drugs, that alone can be fatal. And if you couple that with psychotropic drugs, that allowed his hallucinations to start. And so
that'll set him tired of going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then a taser wouldn't hurt either. We don't know whether he was tasered and restrained. Those two things alone, they kill healthy people. So certainly somebody with a heart problem, it would do them in. So they killed him, and they won't tell us how they killed him. Neither the federal government nor Memphis Shelby County Jail will tell us how they murdered Larry Neal. And that's been 12 years come this August. So I know about those jailhouse murders.
And some of them apparently know about you. I keep following or trying to follow you and the Cochran so-called law firm.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long story, isn't it? Well, anyway, we finally got them cornered, that's for sure, because the United States District Court in Central California has declared that the Cochran firm is not a law firm. And so they have all these little offices open all over the country. And the thing with them is that they claim they're one of, if you look up their description on Wikipedia, you know, they write it themselves.
And yeah, and I was wondering about that one of, you know, we have associates. It's like these ambulance chasers that have associates around the country so they can funnel things through and get a cut of it.
That's about what they're doing. And they're not a law firm. And that's what the United States District Court in California has decided. That's Central California. But nobody's reporting it as far as mainstream media. So I figure they think they can wiggle out of it. And I'm trying to publish it myself, so that at least the families will be warned, because unfortunately, a great many African-American families still act like Jenny Cochran's alive, and they take in their police cases, police murder young black men, and there goes the mother sitting there at the Cochran firm, and the Cochran firm is COINTELPRO. So they
kind of hard on families. Kind of hard on families, you know. If you take something public, they got your name and they got your family inside there. That's about all the control they need to keep people quiet.
Well, you know, if people don't have a higher power, I can understand that. But, you know, God said, fear not. And I'm a Christian. Of course, that's a personal thing. Our organization, Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, is secular. It doesn't matter what religion a person is or is not. But I'm a Christian, and I just believe that it's important when you see something wrong, like all these people depending on the Cochran firm to help them when they have police murders and help them when big corporations are running over them. They go to the Cochran firm, and the Cochran firm sells them out. I have a whole list. Did you see my list?
I missed that one. I'm swamped with internet things these days. I've been getting rid of a lot of things. Not you, Mary, never. But I'm to the point where it's hard to keep up with. I have to go off to people's sites rather than wait for it to come to me, because we got this other fellow in there, Zuckerberg, and he decides what we're going to see in there, and I'm getting pretty frustrated with all of his doings on there. He sends me all the pictures, and he sends me all the invites, and he sends me the new cars. And I go to somebody's site, and, oh, my gosh, why didn't I see this, and why didn't I see that? You know, these are the things I reply to. Why don't they let me communicate with all the people that are doing things I want to see? There's a lot of censorship.
You mean on your homepage? On your
homepage, yeah, the selection. It's the selection of what comes onto those pages. You really can't trust it to bring you what you want. You have to go to everybody there and look through their pages and see what they've done, see what they've posted.
That's true. You really do, because I know that most of my news is censored, and you probably won't see it on the home pages. And so, yes, please go to the site. Come to Mary Loves Justice at Facebook. Are you talking about Facebook?
Yeah, I'm talking about Facebook and newspapers, too. You know, the one I've been trying to get a handle on is a prison down in Arizona right now, where they're standing out in 118 degrees in the yard, and they're doing a strike because two men have been killed in the prison, died under strange circumstances. And there's only one newspaper and a small organization that are trying to keep that into the public. And I've been trying to put their things. Say again?
Where is this prison?
I cannot remember the name of it, but if you look up Puente Human Rights Org, and I can send you a link to it. They've been reporting it for a while. But
wonderful. So
yeah,
now who
it feels really funny when you go to the news press, you know, and to do a Google search or whatever search you do there, and it comes up blank, and you put words in there, and they tell you all these nonsense things from 3 or 4 years ago, you know, and there's nothing that comes up current. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. You see something, and you go to search on it, and it's not there. You can see one piece about it.
But put the year in with it.
Say again, I can't hear you.
I put the year in with the event I'm looking for.
Ah, okay. That sounds good.
And then that'll bring it probably immediately. Let me ask you, who's on strike? Are the prison workers on strike?
It's the prisoners themselves. They're on a hunger strike.
Oh, they're on a hunger strike because they had two deaths.
Let me see if I can find it while we're in here talking.
Okay. I appreciate your calling. I want you to know that today I wrote an article in Dog Justice for Mentally Ill, and it's called Killing Mentally Ill Georgians is Habitual. It's gotten to be
a habit. Saw that. That's the one I realized you were on tonight. Hello?
Yes, the one you realized I was on.
I was still here. Yeah, that's where I saw the link to the show tonight. It's been a long time since we've talked, Mary. I've been sending you a little pings on there, you know, marking your name to show you things that are going on. But sometimes on some computers, those don't even work. That kind of bugs me.
Well, especially on my page, I'm the most censored person in America. I don't know if you realize that. But, I have the proof of it. I have a blog where I keep a lot of the proof. And then, of course, I have a lot of videos, but the blog is called Justice Gagged. Thing is, the mentally ill people, that's where over half the prison profits come from. And over half, because they're over half of the inmates. And and of all the inmates, they get paid more for mentally ill people. So when you think about, they comprise over half the inmates, and they comprise probably twice as much money. They generate twice as much money as a sane person. You're looking at probably 2/3 of the income comes from mentally ill people. And, you know, they need to have private rooms sometimes. Most of the time they put them in solitary. And 60% or better of the inmates who are in solitary are mentally ill people. So that's where that's their gravy tray. So
you know, and you know, I wonder the medications. Now I know that jails charge all the cost they can. You know, just like a for-profit hospital, they charge everything they can to make money off of it. But I wonder how well they do with padding their books for all those mentally ill people in there too.
Well, I think that they do quite a good job of padding their books because so many of them are actually off medication. When they put them in solitary, oftentimes right. They just go and take them off their medication because they don't care about their comfort. They're separated.
They don't want to go in.
Whatever they do, if they're in a solitary cell, it won't affect anyone but them. And so a lot of times they're not really getting treatment. And that's what happens. And, of course, when they see someone is almost about to get out, they've served their time, they usually will withdraw treatment at that time so that that person will go into a crisis and do something wrong and they can add time. Or they will switch their medicine at that time if they look and see they're going to get out in 6 months or 3 months. And sometimes when they switch your medicine, it takes a while to get adjusted to a new medication, and that might send a mentally ill person into crisis. So they have games that they play in order to lengthen sentences for mentally ill people.
Mary, I had it crossed. The one that they were talking about with the hunger strike is a deportation issue, and the other one is the there it went again. This thing's so unstable to me. Elroy Detention Center. And there is a hunger strike going on there. Representative Paul Grijalva sent a letter to the U.S. Attorney General requesting the Department of Justice launch a public investigation, allegations of abuse, and two recent deaths at the Elroy, Eloy, Detention Center. Denise Dung Juan from Mexico was in custody. ICE runs a for-profit detention center outside of Phoenix. Detainees say they witnessed guards beat Denise Dung Juan and then put him in solitary before his death. ICE alleges he was found unresponsive with no obvious signs of injuries. And it's reported the second man is dead in custody.
And so how far apart of these two deaths? Did both of them happen the same?
I couldn't hear that again.
I was asking you, how far apart were these two deaths? Did they both happen in the same week?
It does not say anything about dates on this. This is the Tucson Weekly I'm looking at, and it gives no dates except that this is a June 17, 2015 story, and they are calling for the investigation. So it's been some time since this occurred. I see no dates in this. Nothing about dates.
Well, we certainly appreciate you keeping
us. A couple pieces of hater mail in it, because nobody's going to go on there and talk. Cops will come out and visit. So.
Well, it's something that is a story that keeps repeating. The murders of inmates, the murders of prisoners, the beatings of inmates, the beatings of prisoners, the torture, the abuse, it continues. And as far as the Justice Department investigating, I'll just let you know that the Justice Department had investigated Memphis Shelby County Jail, had sued them, the USA sued the jail, and put the USDOJ in overview. And with all of that, they secretly arrested and murdered my brother. And both the jail and the Justice Department refused to give us any information about how he was murdered, who were the arresting officers, what were his charges.
we know nothing about it. And every time
not even an autopsy. Not even an autopsy report, I'll bet.
I did get the autopsy report, and it just said that he died of heart failure. We know that tasers cause heart failure. We know that sudden withdrawal from his heart medications cause heart failure.
Yes.
Restraint chairs cause heart failure. So that's really not telling us anything.
Right, right, right.
Right. And so that's the exact...
Let me ask you, Mary, this habitual, has there been a string of these things that I'm not seeing on your site? Has there been a specific string of people being killed in the prisons and in the jails recently?
Oh, yes,
here?
Yes.
The
prison death rate is really skyrocketing. What happened is, I guess the police noticed that people have cameras now, so if there's someone they want to kill, they arrest them first. And
right.
So they... getting away with that. Blacks and whites. They killed a 19-year-old white young man in Clay County Jail in Florida on the 10th day he was there. He happened to have been a Christian, and they teased him about God and Jesus enough to get him riled. That's what they do. They press their buttons. And when he got riled up with them about God and Jesus, because they're picking on him about his religion, that was their excuse to come with the spit.
Trumping.
Yeah, they came with the spit hood, and they sprayed him all in the face with their pepper spray. And the inmate said that they also sprayed the pepper spray on a pillow or a towel.
And put it on his face, huh?
So that he couldn't get away from it. And then they handcuffed him behind his back, marched him down the hall, and put him in the restraint chair, tasered him while he was in there. And he's coughing and saying, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe," a very famous last words.
Right. Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah. Those words again, "I can't breathe." You know, and as we're talking, Mary, it remembers, for my mind, one of the cases that got California in trouble with it, the prisons in general. And, a psychiatrist from England actually wrote a letter, I think it was in the LA Press, or it might have been in the Guardian. What they did, they had a man in solitary, and he would not come out for his medication. And as the psychiatrist said, "Would you come out? You look outside, you're already psychotic, and you see these black figures with masks instead of faces. Would you open the cell door?" Well, they decided they would come in and make him take his meds. So they came in, three or four of them, and instead of using one of those personal little gases, what they did was threw in a canister that is used for like a dining room, you know, for the mess hall. This is made to fill a volume. So they threw that in there and pacified him with that. And, of course, he died of suffocation.
Yes.
And
well,
that was one of the ones that got enough attention, you know, and helped get the judges to bring in the federals. But like you say, we're investigating it. You know, when the police say we've got it under investigation and, you know, we're making new rules so it'll never happen again, you know, they're planning on how to make it happen a little cleaner next time. You know,
that's
it's like...
When they bring in the feds, they're bringing in their... They have better cover-up artists than local police and local prisons. And when they bring in the feds and put them an overview of a
municipality. Well, there's a coordination between the military and the locals. You know, they run this program where they go around from department to department. I can't remember. They started some 10, 12 years ago at least, you know, so they could share all the best techniques. And,
exactly.
Yeah. One of the fellows that was in the house in the apartment building, I guess it was, or a warehouse up in Chicago where they would take people. And that started probably 15, 20 years ago that started. One of the two people there actually was involved with some of the training, I believe, for Guantanamo.
Yes.
You know, so these people have connections with all of their own, what should I say, profession at different levels, and they share what
right.
they learn, how to do it.
Yes. I think that we have a situation where it's possible that that what they indicted Dick Cheney and Antonio Gonzalez for, it seems very valid to me. Nobody got to hear the case because it didn't go to trial. But, you know, Dick Cheney and Antonio Gonzalez, who was the previous, attorney
right.
general for the
right.
state. They were both indicted down in Willacy County, Texas, for doing for withholding federal investigations and prosecution in exchange for prison stock and other good and valuable consideration. And I thought about it because that was right around
this
the same
time. This was recent. Wasn't this a very recent case down in Texas? Like within a month?
It was
2008. Maybe I just saw a reference to it. I know there's another case been opened up, but it's in Europe, you know, the international court.
Well, Cheney was indicted while he was still the vice president.
Still vice president, yes.
Yes, so it was 2008. And the situation is that they were accused of withholding federal investigations after inmate abuses and murders in exchange for prison property. And so my brother, when I thought about him, I said, well, his no investigation ensued. The people seem to be avoiding the issue and everything. I wonder if Memphis Shelby County Jail did a payoff. And then I thought about all of these jails, all of these prisons, and all of these cities where police are just overusing force left and right. I thought, suppose there's a good national scam where if you don't want to be investigated, or if you do get investigated, you want to always be found to be justified. Suppose you just have to pay someone for that in the Justice Department. So I don't have any information that that is happening. I'm just saying that it would make a damn good scam, and I wouldn't put it past them. Because
well,
almost
it's not been a very transparent Justice Department under Holder. I don't know if it's going to change.
Yeah, well, Holder's gone now on paper.
Yeah.
And Lynch...
Yeah.
But, you know, I really...
Under new management,
I'm not very hopeful of any significant change because the people who chose her, are the they know more about her than I do. And I'm sure they wouldn't want an honest attorney general because if one was honest, many of them would be arrested.
And
the
ones that come forth, go ahead.
But I was, the article I wrote tonight about Georgians being killed, that's happening rather regularly now, that Georgians are, the mental illness are being killed. We had one who was killed in March as he ran naked. He was the U.S. Air Force veteran. And
that was the man who was almost, well, they described him as lame and, you know, made it sound like you could have walked and caught him. And,
right.
Yes, yes.
And
that was over just registration and what am I trying to say? Did you have your insurance yet? You get somebody scared enough and they're going to run, you know, You lean in a little bit and start.
No, this is a totally different case, sir. This happened in Georgia, DeKalb County. It was a U.S. Air Force veteran. He was running naked. He was naked outside. That's why the police came.
Oh, this isn't the man in the car that was chased down or shot down.
No.
Oh,
he
I thought that
was
their
naked and running. And if someone's naked and running, you can see they have no weapon. But he was killed. he was killed anyway. And, you know, of course, the police officer said he feared for his life. Now, what is he afraid of? He got a butt-naked man. What are you going to stick him with? His penis? I mean, what is he afraid of? So,
yeah.
But he killed.
He's afraid of a running naked man. Maybe he's got a case of PTSD and should be on a long, long leave with no guns.
Yeah. And then we have another case where a young man was bipolar and he was killed on New Year's Day. And they covered up his murder for a while, but it's out now. He was mentally ill. He was bipolar. They killed him in jail, and that was in the Atlanta area. And, of course, Georgia has a bad problem with executing mentally ill people. You know, they execute mentally ill people, and that's against international law, and it's against, really, American law, because the U.S. Supreme Court has rules against that in place, but nobody enforces them, and so they do kill mentally ill people. As a matter of fact, they killed Brandon Rode, who was never quite right because he was a fetal alcohol syndrome baby, and they killed him with drugs that they bought from the back of a bicycle shop in London. That's when they were going through trouble trying to find execution drugs. And I have his picture on the article. And also, there's a young man they killed named Warren Hill. Now, I think that Warren Hill's case is even more wrong than other people's, because Warren Hill, he was mentally ill. He went to jail for murder. They gave him a cellmate. And somehow Warren Hill got a plank of wood with nails driven through it like a prepared weapon. A prepared weapon. And he beat his cellmate to death with that. They executed him. The thing is, I want to know, where would a man who is already a homicidal, mentally ill patient, where would he get a plank of wood with nails driven through it?
The same place the people in high security prisons like Corcoran get their heroin. Staff. Stuff
it
doesn't accidentally get into those places.
Out of all the articles that I saw written about Warren Hill's execution, I kept waiting to read that they were doing an inquiry into how he got, I think it was a 9x4, whatever it was, 2x4, with nails driven through it, a homemade club. Where would he get nails? Where would he get a 2x4? And he's in a controlled environment. I never heard anyone raise that question other than myself. Right here in DeKalb County, Georgia, where I am, a few years ago, another mentally ill person killed his cellmate. And what I'm thinking is that it may be a case where if guards don't want you around, they put you in a cell with someone homicidal, and perhaps you get a tool, somehow you get a weapon, and you're able to do away with this person that perhaps they don't want. And
it works both ways, you know.
Let's go ahead and execute the person.
Turn into a new roommate, and that'll be the last of somebody.
Exactly.
If there's somebody that's not playing the game or somebody that's talking to too many lawyers, he might just get somebody that's life or nothing to lose except some more cigarettes in his commissary from now and then.
Well, they're not even, I don't think they're putting them in a cell with somebody who's even thinking that clearly. They just put them in there with somebody who's mentally ill, and the mentally ill person has a weapon, from somewhere, and then they kill them, and then they will execute the mentally ill person, and they're done with the whole shebang.
You know, Mary, something else. Let's just kind of take another little spin around this whole thing. These people get killed in jail. There's often no autopsy. A lot of times nobody to, you know, to claim a body, to bury a body and such like this. One of the other things I believe that happens a lot in that area, I've heard, don't you have a lot of kids who go missing? Aren't you one of those areas where street kids go missing a lot? I know there's a lot of it in certain areas around Dallas and in Texas, some of the cities, but I believe Atlanta is one of the other street trade cities, and kids end up dead or missing. And I'm just wondering, you're talking about, you know, what's in it for them, what kind of scam they're running. And I know a long time back, you and I both were in the issue of body parts.
Oh, yes.
In China, they execute people on special order. You know, they've got a high up in the party that needs a heart, a liver, a kidney, a lung. They find one that matches and execute him, you know, on schedule. And I wouldn't put it past the worst people on this planet to find a place to do something like that right here in our country. You know, to find a source for... they've got all these people. They've got their medical records. They can go through that. And, you know, they don't have to raise their heads until they've got a good good match. And if that good
well, you
match,
know the man that killed in Oklahoma, the one they tortured to death, it was called an execution, but it really wasn't a torture. An
execution. Oh, yes.
Really
yes.
Well, you know, he was returned without his organs.
Yes.
So I don't know if his organs would be any good since they injected him with poison, but I know he didn't have them.
Yeah. And,
so it's unfortunate, all the things that are happening, but they want us to shut up about it. Because America is bombing other countries for human rights, and they don't want us to talk about these things, and that's why you're running into your little censorship problems.
Keep us all divided that way. Keep us all happy. Bread and circuses. Bread and circuses.
Yeah. I thank you for joining me tonight. I hope you come back
hey,
next
thanks,
Wednesday.
Thanks. It's been a while there. So.
We're out of time. We only have 1 minute, and I want you to know how much I appreciate your coming on air, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. And I want to thank the radio
audience. Keep in mind, as always, Mary. As always, you're in mind. Care of yourself.
Well, thank you. Take care. Everybody, thanks for joining us tonight on Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. The Bible says that we should watch what happens with prisoners. Think of their bodies as our own. Hebrews 13:3. And I ask you to do that. Go online and look for us.